Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. This is the text. The day of Epiphany is a special day in the life of the church because it represents so much of our life in Christ. Christ must be made known. The message must be told. Christ must be revealed. And God typically does this through unusual means. In our Sunday morning Bible class recently, we fielded a number of questions concerning the church year calendar, and we have noted more than a few times that the day of Epiphany is one of the chief anchor points as we tell the story of God's interaction with his people. And he uses Gentiles to bring the message. Originally, as I said in the opening, this was a day to tell many accounts of God being revealed as man, that God in man is made manifest, as we just sang. Originally, this was the celebration of the birth of Jesus. January 6th was the first day designated for the celebration of Christ's birth. It also was a day to celebrate his baptism and his first miracle at Cana, and the coming of the wise men. So there's a lot to celebrate today. And the earliest reference to the Feast of Epiphany goes back as far as 361 AD. So the church has been celebrating this day for a very long time. Now, as the church calendar spread out so that we could devote more time to the celebration of these numerous events in Christ's life, you know, Christmas is set apart as its own season. Epiphany becomes an entire season. The Eastern Orthodox churches use a little different calendar than we do, but in the Western churches, the day of Epiphany now is primarily devoted to the coming of the wise men. We really don't know much about these wise men. We don't know how many there actually were. The tradition of three of them arose because of the three gifts. And their traditional names, Gaspar, Balthazar, and Melchior, that first appeared in a 6th century mosaic in Ravenna, Italy. They are not kings, even though that concept makes for a great Christmas carol, one of my favorites. The best word used to describe them is magi. The Magi were a class of priests and astronomers and astrologers from Persia. They were the influential advisors to the king all the way back to the days of Babylon. The Babylonian kings and later the Persian kings were advised by the Magi. And when I see the Magi come and bring gifts to Jesus, I see the seamless connection between the Old and New Testaments. And we see that what God's word is history. And it is rooted and founded in actual events that took place in time. The prophet Daniel, exiled to Babylon, was serving under King Nebuchadnezzar and was made the presiding officer over all of the Magi. Daniel was the one who could actually interpret the dreams of the king. And he was the one who could read the handwriting on the wall that told another king that his reign was coming to an end. And Daniel was a devout man of God who prayed to the Lord every day, even when that was illegal to do so. And when the Lord kept him safe while in the lion's den, that next day, when those other magi who conspired against him were thrown into the lion's den, they and their families, and the lions killed them before their feet hit the ground, something tells me that the other magi who didn't conspire against Daniel and didn't get thrown into the lion's den, they would have been paying attention to what Daniel was saying. And you read the prophet Daniel, it's not a story about a guy in a lion's den. That's such a small part of the story. Daniel, the leader of the Magi, interacts with and advises several generations of kings from Babylon and Persia. And the book of Daniel tells of how God can use anyone, even Gentile kings, to proclaim his power and salvation. After Daniel emerges safely from the lion's den, King Darius of Persia wrote, he made a decree. He says, I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. It's from Daniel 6. This Persian king making this declaration is certainly an unusual source for God's message. But that's what King Darius decreed, and the Magi would have been paying attention. Daniel goes on and tells of how God will restore his people. He will restore them from exile, bring them out of Babylon and back to Israel. And even more so, he will ultimately save them with the coming of the real King of the Jews, the Messiah. 500 years after Daniel, the star appears. And it appears the Magi were still paying attention to the message of Daniel. However, upon their journey to Israel, the Magi find themselves standing before a king who is not interested in acknowledging that anyone else should be called the King of the Jews. King Herod was not going to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Let me give you a little background on Herod. Herod was not a Jew. He was an Edomite, a descendant of Esau, a pretender to the birthright of Israel. And so that no one could challenge his throne, Herod killed his wife, Mariamne, even though she was, by all accounts, recorded as being his favorite wife. She was of Jewish royalty and was too much of a threat. He killed her brother, Aristobulus, had him drowned. Aristobulus was the high priest. He killed his mother-in-law. I guess for being a mother-in-law, I don't know. He killed 3 of his sons for fear that they would want his throne before he died. Herod has done all of this by the time that the Magi come visiting. Herod dies a year or two after Jesus is born. And just before Herod dies, to give you an idea of the type of paranoia and the vile nature of this man, he ordered the arrest of the most distinguished citizens in Jerusalem, had them imprisoned, as it appeared that his life was going to be ending as he had grown ill. He had them in prison, and he gave the orders that on the day that he dies, they are all to be executed, so that there will be weeping and mourning in the streets of Jerusalem, and that no one will celebrate his death. That's who Herod is. And in walk the Magi. And they say, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star and have come to worship him." And all of Jerusalem was troubled at hearing this. Of course, all of Jerusalem was troubled at hearing this, because Herod was just told that there is someone who was born to be king. Someone was going to die, because Herod was not going to tolerate this. And we know what Herod does to the children of Bethlehem. Herod was determined that this king must die. Now, that was the one thing that Herod had right. This king must die, but it is not yet his time. First, the Son of the living God, promised throughout the Old Testament, foretold by Daniel, decreed by King Darius, God in flesh makes his dwelling among us, and this must be revealed. God made man is manifest. That's the message of Epiphany. It is a message that must be told, no matter how unusual the messenger. And those who do not know the power of the living God, for those whom the joy of salvation is hidden, even those like Herod, who are miserable, vile tyrants, to them the love of God must be revealed. Christ must be made known. The message must be told. Epiphany is about Christ being revealed. It must happen. And he is revealed in unusual ways. He's revealed in his word. He's revealed in flesh and blood under the form of bread and wine. He is revealed in you. You don't have to be a prophet or a king or magi for God to use you as the means through which God or through which Jesus is revealed to the world. In what you do, in how you conduct your life, in what you say, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Within you is the message of Daniel. The seamless message of Old and New Testament is woven together in you. And through the faith of your baptism, you have much to tell. In you, the love of God is revealed. Christ must be made known. The message must be told. Christ must be revealed every day. Make every day a day of Epiphany. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.